Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is going to be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today as we are now embarking on the start of the NFL regular season, week one. People are excited about that. Green Bay plays the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. That is a late afternoon game on Fox. And the Bears open with the Falcons in Chicago. That's going to be a tough one for Chicago as Atlanta, of course, went to the Super Bowl last year. But the Packers and Seahawks. Seahawks have Eddie Lacy now. I liked him as a Packer, but he was injured a lot, sometimes out of condition. But when he was on, he was on. I think if Seattle can harness that, they've got something good with Eddie Lacy. And the excitement abounds in Green Bay with this game coming up. Let's listen to Ted Thompson, GM of the Packers. You know, it's an exciting time of the year. He's the top guy, rallying the troops, bringing the excitement to the game. Here he is, Ted Thompson.
It's getting to be a critical part of the camp version of the season. We got a lot of work to do, and not a lot of time to do it. So, having said that, why don't we take questions?
He's yawning.
How problematic, Ted, might it be some of these roster decisions you got? A guy like, you know, for example, like Dean Lowry might miss a couple of weeks. You got a few guys who have some short-term injuries that maybe you have to take two or three, four guys into the end of the season where they can't play. Does that complicate picking the final 53 when you got?
Right. Well, that's speculation. We don't know how it's going to turn out. There are a lot of things that factor into it. Injuries, short-term and long-term, factor into the different things as far as the roster's concerned.
Speaking just generally, you probably had to go through it before, I'm sure.
Yeah, we've done it before. It's not unusual. And it's not unusual for almost all around the league.
He was yawning going into his press conference. If you're the editor of that clip at Packers.com, you got to know that if you're going to be sneezing, drooling, hacking, edit that out. Don't put the yawn in. Now let's listen to Mike McCarthy talking about, do you keep two or do you keep three quarterbacks going into the regular season? Here's McCarthy.
When you keep a third quarterback, he has to earn it. I mean, it's really about the 53-man roster. I'd like to have four quarterbacks here in the building at all times. I mean, that would be the preference. But, you know, that 51, 52, 53, or wherever that third quarterback would fall in your thinking, I mean, that those are positions that need to be earned.
So we've got Jeff Rich coming up from the Sports Byline USA Network talking about the rest of the NFL. Les Grobstein in our next segment from CBS Sports Radio in Chicago, talking about the Bears and their prospects this year. And John Poulter later in the program talking Major League Baseball from Toronto. All right here on the Sports Report. Hang on.
You know, sometimes when you compare prices on products, you think to yourself, what difference does it make? The rates are all about the same anyway, but sometimes the rates are very different. Let me give you an example where there's a huge difference in pricing between companies. Vehicle protection plans. Look, if your car is 4 years or older, having a vehicle protection plan is a no-brainer. The trick is not to overpay for it. Here are the facts. The average price of a vehicle protection plan is $2,800, while the price of a Toco warranty vehicle protection plan for most vehicles is just $1,500. The average down payment on a vehicle protection plan is $299. With Toco warranty, there's no down payment. The average monthly payment on a vehicle protection plan is more than $160 a month. With Toco, the average monthly payment is just $49. To get a highly rated vehicle protection plan at a great low rate, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
I went to a football game, the Packers and the Bears. I got so bummed I did not know the score or even care. I threw up on a Bears fan, he said he'd call the cops. I said that's fine, but all in time now.
Please pass the shots!
Hi, this is Len Dawson, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs. Packer Dave, you know a lot about a lot of things, but you don't know jack cheese about football.
I do know this, that's the Happy Schnapps combo from Manitowoc, Wisconsin that you're listening to with one of their classics. Please pass the schnapps. Please pass the schnapps. Hey. Okay. My hometown, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And if you listen to the verse, they say, I threw up on a Bears fan. He said he'd call the cops.
Oh, it threw up?
All right. And that's the voice of Steve Leventhal from Chicago. He joins me on this classy program. And
classy,
so Steve,
not.
You got a big quarterback brouhaha in Chicago. Well, it's not that big.
Brouhaha. Just, the only brouhaha was they wasted a lot of money on Mike Glennon.
Well, is Trubisky going to start or is Glennon going to start?
Well, I think
we still,
you
don't know yet.
Called it right. It won't be. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when they pull the plug. Nothing that I've seen so far in the preseason leads me to believe that Glennon's got anything. If anything, they overpaid. His agent should be the one who gets an award for that. I don't know, you know, how financially it would have worked. I don't understand why they wouldn't have just cut Jay Cutler and then re-signed him, because at least he knows the offense.
Oh, well, I don't know that they wanted him around, Steve. Anyway, Steve goes to Hallis Hall in Lake Forest, Illinois, where the Bears' home office is and where their training facility is. He goes there each week during the football season for the midweek audio. But let's hear from the new quarterback for the Bears.
So far, so good. Always stuff to learn and improve from, but That's what the film for. We're going to study this film, get better this week, learn from our mistakes, and continue to get better and grow as a team. So just keep doing the little things. Just enjoy the moment, do my job, and take care of my teammates so they can do their job. Just go out there, play the game I love, and just go out there and have fun.
From your vantage point, what have you seen out of Mike?
He's been awesome. Just continues to handle himself as a professional. Me and him, just we block out the outside media, And he's helped me, and I continue to help him in any way I can, and he's been tremendous. And I think that bond in our quarterback room hopefully just trickles to the rest of the position groups, and we just could have a tight-knit team and just continue to get better each and every day.
We bring in Les Grobstein. Les, welcome to the Sports Report. How are you?
Dave, how are you doing today?
Doing fine. Steve, say hello to your friend.
Yeah, he's still sober, so it's all good.
Well, that's
I've seen
like 100%
you've been doing a lot of
time.
Traveling, haven't you, Les?
Well, a little bit. I mean, we went to Cancun. Kathy and I went to Cancun about a month ago. We had a great time there.
First, I want to start off with John Fox in Chicago. What if they have another losing season? Is he still around?
Bye-bye. Adios, amigos. And a lot of people around here will be sadder than they were when Lovey went bye-bye. Of course, Lovey's down. He's people in Champagne's problem right now. But Fox has not been real great media-wise to deal with. And anytime anybody complains about the way he's doing things, his only response is, this isn't my first rodeo. Well, he acts like it is, because things are, there's a lot of all the other coaches in the NFC North are 100% easier to deal with than John is. But I don't think John cares. I mean, he has been indicating he wants to go with veteran quarterbacks. Trubisky is the best quarterback the Bears have, but he doesn't want to use him if possible. I think he's going to play in Thursday night's game against Cleveland, which is a meaningless game, and usually somebody that you plan to use during the regular season doesn't play in that final exhibition game. Example, you know, Aaron Rodgers will not play for Green Bay Thursday, nor will Matthew Stafford for Detroit. and probably Teddy Bridgewater will not play for Minnesota. But they're going to use Trubisky. Sanchez, they're not planning to use. I don't even know why he's on the team, but the indication is that he might be the number two guy if anything were to happen initially to, Mike Glennon, who is the number one guy at the moment.
Yeah, Dave, Les hit it on the head. There's no question at this point Trubisky is by far the best quarterback they have, as inexperienced as he is.
All right, Les, let's look at the first few games of the regular season for Chicago. They have Atlanta, who was in the NFC Championship game, the Buccaneers, then the Steelers, who were in the playoffs, and the Packers, who were in the NFC Championship game in their first 4 weeks.
And they got Tampa Bay on the road, and Jameis Winston is better right now than any quarterback they're going to play. Look, go through the first eight games, or go through every game through the bye, and you can even go to the game after the bye. The first nine games they play, and the first game they play after the bye is against the Packers at Soldier Field. They will be underdog right now until proven otherwise in each and every one of these games. I'm not saying they're going to lose them all, because sometimes in the NFL, you pull an upset and you win a game you have no business winning. But they easily, if chalk follows the way it ought to, they could be 0-9.
Well, yeah, and the fact that they lost their best receiver, the rest of the receiving corps is inexperienced. You know, Jordan Howard was hurt during the preseason. That Bears offense is going to be pretty anemic at best, and their defense is better, but, you know, they were so bad that, you know, you saw it, if you recall, David, did you see the game the Bears played Arizona? They were up, they had this big lead. Arizona came back and scored twice, even though they gambled and lost in a two-point conversion. It just shows you how porous that defense can be.
That was a meaningless game, too. And in the regular season, Arizona would kick a PAT and would have tied the game, and they would have ended up going to overtime. In the preseason, all coaches agree they don't want overtime in the exhibition games.
Right, but that was not my point. My point was the fact that how easily Arizona came down and scored. Now, I know it was probably third-string offense against third-string defense, but, you know, coaching-wise, you know, they did what they had to do, and I think it's a bit symptomatic of what you're going to see in the regular season is that the Bears' offense isn't going to be able to stay on the field a lot. The Bears' defense is going to be on the field a lot, and they're really going to just grind them down. So, like you said, I can't see too many scenarios where the Bears are going to win more than one or two games in the first eight.
Can you see any scenario, Steve and Dave, or if you talk about underdog, favoritism, everything else, these first eight games, they legitimately should be underdogs in every one of them.
Les Grabstein with us from WSCR, the Score Sports 670 in Chicago, and that's CBS Radio. Are you Entercom yet, or are you still CBS?
No, it's still CBS as far as we know.
Okay. That's coming up. Those two big conglomerates merged, Steve. I think you knew that.
I don't want to go through that. When I was at ABC with WLS back in the 80s, they were then purchased by Capital Cities, and it turned the whole thing into a train wreck. We don't want to really go through that garbage again.
Let's look at the division, Les. Bears, Packers, Vikings, Lions. How do you see it playing out by the end of the season?
Well, a lot of people think the Lions are going to be down, but I think they're still the best, second-best team. I mean, it's going to be Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota and Chicago as of right now. The Vikings have some question marks here and there, but I think the fact that they got Bradford last year when Bridgewater was hurt, that at least gives them a legitimate, experienced quarterback. But that puts them ahead of the Bears. Detroit, as long as Stafford is healthy, they're the second-best team. The Packers are going to win it as long as Aaron Rodgers is around. If anything were to happen to Aaron Rodgers, then all bets would be off. But except for the 1 year that the Packers won that last game of the year from the Bears with Rodgers, where he had gotten hurt against the Bears at Lambeau earlier in the season, and they weren't very good, but they hung in there and ended up stealing that last game from the Bears. Then they lost, of course, to Colin Kaepernick at Lambeau Field. But at this point, I think you got to go Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, Chicago.
Okay, Les, and before you exit, baseball. You got the Cubs up a couple games on the Brewers right now. Do you think Milwaukee can win the division? That's what I'm hoping for because I'm a Wisconsin guy. I know you don't care about that.
They had they had full control of that division. They were up 5.5 games, and they went into the tank right after the All-Star break, and they basically let the Cubs right back into it. Now, the Cubs still have some issues. So, I don't know, the one advantage that the Brewers have, for example, over the Cardinals don't have a bullpen, and with Rosenthal hurt, they're dead meat. The Cubs, they've got two terrific relievers. When he is throwing strikes, Carl Edwards Jr. is a great setup man, and we know Wade Davis is terrific. He was good with Kansas City when healthy, and he's very good right now. So it could end up coming down to whose bullpen does the better job and who ends up giving them a good job. Jimmy Nelson pitches good. He's the best pitcher that the Brewers have among their starters. And they got to have everybody swinging the bat well, including Ryan Braun, who is not very well liked here in Chicago. But, you know, that's just, if he were a Cub, they'd love him.
Les, what about on the South side? Any bright spots in an otherwise pretty dismal season, 35th and Shields?
The season is dismal, but I think they have a bright future. I mean, they got some this Gipolito kid that they picked up in a trade months ago. He's had two starts, and his last start against Detroit was brilliant. Pitched like seven innings, gave up one run. That's pretty good. And, Matt Davidson, who they had picked up and hasn't been all that healthy the past couple of years. He just came off the DL, and he was swinging the bat good before that. And Tim Anderson, who struggled earlier and he wasn't healthy, I still think he's a keeper. But they've got a lot of youth, and they have just stocked the farm system. They've got a lot of youth, and I think they got a bright future.
They got a couple of youths.
All right. Thank you very much, Les Grobstein. Sports Radio, CBS 670 in Chicago, The Score. And he comes on periodically throughout the year and helps us here on the Sports Report. Les, thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, Dave. Do you have my cousin Vinny there talking about Utes?
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Now from the Sports Byline USA radio network, we bring in Arizona resident and Cleveland native, Jeff Rich. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you guys.
All right. Good to be with you also. And, your Cleveland Browns, I'm going to start with them. DeShone Kizer now is going to be starting at quarterback, 21-year-old rookie, the fourth quarterback picked in the draft, 52nd pick overall, and he will be the starting quarterback with the Browns and the Steelers on Sunday. So, Jeff, first, your thoughts on that. How do you think he looked in the preseason?
I thought he looked pretty good for a rookie. I thought he looked very good for a second-round pick. I think that, obviously, the talent was there. He was in the conversation with the Trubiskys and the Deshaun Watsons. He fell a little bit, perhaps because of Brian Kelly and Notre Dame's 4-8 record a year ago. But he definitely shined against the threes, then against the twos, started the third preseason game, and got a little action in the fourth preseason game as well against the Chicago Bears. I think that he's the least worst option. I am definitely a sit and learn type of guy, especially with what I've experienced with these Cleveland Brown quarterbacks over the years. But I just don't think you have the option to march Brock Osweiler or Cody Kessler out there if you want to keep your job if you're Hugh Jackson.
So, Jeff, so the Cody Kessler experiment is over?
Cody Kessler had the fortunate opportunity to look better than Josh McCown and the also-rans that they brought in Hugh Jackson's first year there. But that 1-15 record is very telling, and Cody Kessler did not really do much to help shape that in any other direction.
And I know it's not quite the same as the leap up from college to the NFL, but if you're playing Notre Dame's schedule, there aren't too many patsies on that schedule, so he does get to see a lot of guys that probably are playing on Sundays.
No, Notre Dame definitely plays a difficult schedule, but they still need to do better than 4-8 if you are the University of Notre Dame and you bring in Brian Kelly and he talks about how important that job is. You play those games because you're expected to play those games, and you're also expected to win those games.
All right, you live in Arizona. The Arizona Cardinals had a disappointing season last year at 7-8-1, and Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald will be playing again this year. But they're both really old in NFL terms. Is it the last hurrah for this group in Arizona with Palmer and Fitzgerald, do you think? Or you think maybe you'll eke one more year out of each one of these guys?
I think that anything is possible, and I'm going to add a third name into that, and I'm going to say Bruce Arians. I think that the Cardinals, you know, the clock struck midnight last year on them, and probably when they lost to Carolina in that playoff game, you know, you could blame the playoff loss to Carolina the year before on Ryan Lindley, but I definitely look at Carson Palmer as underwhelming, and I think that it's going to be best if they can move on, but this is a group that has not developed a quarterback basically since they got to Arizona, unless you want to count Jake Plummer, who left as soon as his contract was up. So they need to develop a quarterback if they want to keep things going on offense. Obviously, they're going to have to find a new leader. I think that David Johnson is a very capable player, but you got to block for him. You got to have, you know, you got to be in these games to be able to run the football. I don't think their defense is anywhere near where it was when they were a playoff caliber team, and I think that the offense is even further behind than the defense. So I look at this team with an 8-8 ceiling and very likely a 6-10 football team where Seattle runs away with the NFC West.
A couple years ago, Carson Palmer was in the NFC Championship game. They're not that far removed from there. You just think it isn't enough?
I just don't think it's enough. I don't think it's ever been enough with Carson Palmer.
Okay, Jeff Rich with us from the Sports Byline USA Network. You can hear him each and every week, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time Sundays at sportsbyline.com. Steve, did you know, can you name the two original NFL franchises?
The two original NFL franchises?
That's what I just said.
The Decatur Staleys.
Well, that's the Chicago Bears. They're one of them.
And the Detroit, no, that's their basketball team. The Zephyr Pistons or something like that. The other NFL team, New York. I don't know. Probably New York.
Do I get to say the Acme Packers?
No, and that's wrong too.
Okay. The Fudge Packers.
The Arizona Cardinals, when they were the Chicago Cardinals, along with the Bears, first teams in 1920, then the Packers joined in 21. It is the Cardinals' 98th season this year and the Packers' 97th. And Steve.
Another question?
No, just another comment. They were founded as the Morgan Athletic Club in 1898 and the Cardinals in Chicago. And the Cardinals are the oldest continuing running pro team in the United States.
Oh, running, they definitely will do. They got the Johnson. He's probably one of the best running backs in the league.
But, Jeff, they just haven't had the success that some of the other teams have had over the years. Now they're good, though.
It's been since 1948. I mean, it's been, you know, you talk about pre-merger. This is like pre-color TV that the Chicago Cardinals, they went through their whole run in St. Louis without winning, and they've been in Arizona since 1988, and they got close against Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl a few years ago, but this has been mostly a pathetic franchise. I think you put them in that group with the Clippers, going back to them being the San Diego Clippers and the Buffalo Braves before that.
Well, I remember those old St. Louis, Jim Hart, Conrad Dobler. I mean, they weren't bad teams. They played some good football.
Conrad Dobler is a bitter, injured man. Remember? We saw him?
Yeah, at Super Bowl Radio Row.
Radio Row, he's like, everybody sucks, I'm hurt. Life sucks, you all suck.
Yeah, but it's like all those linemen, they can't walk. They can't walk anymore. Crutches, walkers, wheelchairs, it's kind of sad.
I'm not saying I don't sympathize with them, but I remember that interview.
Oh, you pushed them out of the way to get to the bar.
I did not.
On that note, did you guys hear Eric Winston's comments about how their mindset with the Players Association is on the present and they don't care about the league 20 years from now, which really, I think, ruffled the feathers with some of the veterans who the league is still trying to take care of. And they said that, you know, the Players Association mission has always been about taking care of the next generation in the future. And Winston kind of just shot that whole thing down. Peter King wrote about it in his Monday Morning Quarterback and said that it was a really bad look and it was an embarrassing thing for a guy like him to say.
All right, Jeff Rich with us, Sports Byline USA Network. And now the last of the quiz. What team has had the longest run as their team in their town with their name in all of North America? Anybody?
The Harvard Crimson?
Wrong. Yale? No, pro. Did I say pro team? I did, didn't I? Jeff, any idea?
I would go with either the New York Yankees or the Baltimore Orioles.
Wrong. The Toronto Argonauts.
No, the New York Yankees actually started life as in Baltimore.
Right. That's why I threw them both out there.
But did you hear the part where I said the longest where they are now with the same name?
Did you say North America? Did you say North America? Do we have to think about Canada and Mexico professional franchises? I like
to think about teams that Dave. People care about.
I said 18. I meant 1873. That's when the Toronto Argonauts were established. Anyway, Jeff, Steve, let's look at the rest of the NFL slate and some key games coming up. The Giants and Cowboys play on Sunday Night Football, 8:30 Eastern time. Jeff, your thoughts on this one? Two playoff teams from last year in the same division.
The Giants have a way of winning. Eli has a way of winning in that stadium, and I think that it's going to continue, especially if Ezekiel Elliott is not on the field for the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, and the Giants beaten in the playoffs at Lambeau Field by the Packers. That was too bad. You know, you've heard us talk about it. Seattle, Green Bay, late game on Fox. Steve, your thoughts on this? Now, this brace yourself, everybody, for the wealth of information that's coming at you. But Steve, what about that one?
Well, like, you know, you got to admit, Green Bay is the model of consistency. Whether or not they make it to the Super Bowl, which is, I know, what you want every year, they're always in the mix, they're always in the playoffs. And I know you hate Pete Carroll or whatever you, Petey Red Bull, whatever you call him. I'll give the edge to the Seahawks.
There was nothing in that. Nothing at all in that.
Well, Dave's idea is like, okay, let's just put him on the spot here without, you know, giving me the chance to do some prep.
Okay, nothing at all. Jeff, Raiders and Titans, I like that one. I think the Titans, there are a lot of high expectations there this year. Good quarterback in Marcus Mariota. The Raiders with Derek Carr looking to be contenders again this year. Give us your take on that one.
I think that the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders, are the best team in the AFC outside of New England. I like them in this one. I think the Tennessee's a little bit overhyped. Let's see, you know, how Marcus Mariota handles pressure at this level. I think that every team in the AFC South has gotten to coast. They get, like, this free space, and when they have to play outside of that division, that's when they lose games. So I like the Raiders in that one. I think it's a one-point spread, but I like the Raiders by a lot more than that.
Okay, yeah, Steve.
How much is all this weather-related stuff going to affect the Houston Texans in the start of their season? Is it going to kind of throw them a curveball?
Well, let me tell you this. The Browns own the first and second round picks. So right there, you know that Houston's going to be at least 8-8 if they don't go 14-2. You know, they're going to play inspired football. And when you have something that you're playing, you know, in the wake of Hurricane Harvey, Bill O'Brien already said that they're going to dedicate the season to the city of Houston. You could either overextend and it costs you, or you play inspired football and you win games. The Houston Texans are no stranger to winning games. They've got to figure out their quarterback position. And quite frankly, as ready as I don't think Deshaun Kizer is, I think that Deshaun Watson is even less ready, and that you're going to see Tom Savage, who has not played well in the preseason. So you're really 50-50 on Houston. But I think that they're coached well, and I think that they could win in spite of their quarterback situation.
Yeah, and how about that solid citizen, J.J. Watt, who's sort of gone above and beyond to get out there on social media to raise awareness of the things that people need down there, and who's, you know, dedicated himself to, you know, doing a lot of, again, awareness and charity work to help the people that are displaced and have really hurting in the wake of the hurricane.
Well, he set a goal, you know, through the youcaring.com website with trying to raise $500,000. And he said that he would match $100,000, and Chris Paul chipped in $50,000. And this is a fluid situation, so this number is going to grow. But the goal was originally $500,000. As we speak, it's the goal is set at $1.5 million, and it's only going to go north from there.
All right, Jeff. Also, 1-800-RED-CROSS if you want to donate. 1-800-RED-CROSS. Is always available.
We did.
Jeff?
Or Joel Osteen. We did. I think that he's opened up his ministry to re-donate. And of course, I'm joking. You know, I know that the situation there is that you want to open your doors to everyone that you can help if you can help. And, you know, there's been jokes and there's been shade thrown his way, and I think deservedly so.
Okay. All right. Jeff Rich, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Check him out. You're listening to the Sports Report.
Hi, this is Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. If you're hanging a mirror or shelf, you'll need more support than drywall can offer by itself. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how to find your wall studs right after this.
The probability of a serious fire in a building may be low, but the potential consequences are enormous. In addition to smoke alarms and fire extinguishers, fire-resistant building materials can give you extra time to escape when seconds count. Roxul Stonewall Insulation is a critical line of defense in fire protection. Roxul is made from basalt, rock, and slag, and this combination results in a non-combustible product. It resists temperatures up to 2150 degrees and will not off-gas, contribute to toxic smoke, or promote flames. These tips brought to you by Roxul, the better insulation.
To hang heavier items on your walls, you'll need the solid backing of a stud. That's one of the vertical 2x4s behind finished walls. The most reliable way to find them is with an electronic stud finder, which detects changes in density. You pass it over a wall, and lights and tones tell you when you found a stud. You can also hold a lamplight close to a wall and look for nail heads and seams in the drywall. Other low-tech methods include tapping and listening for hollow spaces, or looking alongside switches and outlet boxes, since they're usually attached to the side of a stud. The good news is that once you find one stud, you should be able to find them all, because most walls are laid out with a stud every 16 inches. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.
The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com. I'm Bob Terrell. Join us in 1986 on The Year in Sports. The best football team in the NFC was the New York Giants, quarterbacked by Phil Simms, who the next year would be named Super Bowl MVP. The Giants went on to win the Super Bowl over the AFC Denver Broncos 39-20. In NBA action, the Eastern Conference Boston Celtics defeated the Western Conference Houston Rockets 4-2, winning their 16th NBA championship. The 1986 Boston Celtics, which finished the regular season 67-15, is generally considered to be the best of Larry Bird's career. The 1986 World Series was a memorable battle between the New York Mets and the Boston Red Sox, which helped to spread the legend of the Curse of the Bambino to mass public awareness. New York Mets beat the Boston Red Sox, winning the series 4-3. And in hockey, it was the Edmonton Oilers winning the Stanley Cup, beating the Philadelphia Flyers 4-3 in the finals. I'm Bob Terrell. Thanks for joining us in 1986 on The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.
Hi, Packer Dave. This is Jeff Foxworthy saying if you sit outside in 10-degree weather with a piece of cheese on your head, you might be a redneck.
It's the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal in Chicago. Steve made a golf trip recently, right?
Yeah, I got to go to the PGA down in Charlotte. That was a great, it was a fun time. I love going to the golf majors. It's just, you know, it's a lot of fun, beautiful course, and stayed with some of my, all my friends from UNC down there because it was in Charlotte, North Carolina.
So, that so you was, didn't cover it as a broadcast professional?
I certainly, most certainly did.
Oh, you did.
Now, remember, so I fractured my rib right beforehand, so that just that whole going out there and just being everywhere on the course, I kind of had to dial that back a little bit.
That's right. You were in a bike. Was it a marathon?
No.
Or, we were at a bike event.
No, we did what's called a recovery ride. When you did a long ride, we did 38 miles a day before. And then the next day we did, was just going to be a 12-mile ride in a place that I've been a million times on a road, and just was a little careless, hit a rut, and lost control of the bike, and I ditched it on the grass. So I could have been a lot worse. I could have been.
I am sorry. I have not. I saw something about that, I think, on social media, and I didn't call to see how you're okay. I feel bad.
I'm fine. I'd say, you know, 4 to 6 week recovery. I'm about halfway there, a little more than halfway there. And just, you know, whatever. But, hey, listen, see, like you said, I know that you want.
Are you on painkillers right now?
Sparingly. Got to be careful with that stuff. Okay. But I was going to say, you know how, you know, we all, you know, the work comes first. I remember you were in the hospital once. We did this show or the predecessor show. We came, brought that stuff to the hospital bed. I, with a broken ribbon and all, the first question I said to the doc, can I travel? And they said yes. Cause I said, I got to go cover this tournament.
Yeah. But see, when I left the hospital for a certain few hours to help edit and send this audio that we used to do in our company, that I had to do because there was a lot of money on the line. If you'd have missed the PGA, was there any money on the line for you other than your own personal pleasure and, you know, freewheeling, traveling?
The cost of the plane ticket? No.
Okay. That's the difference. But you did play with pain, and I do admire that. Now let's move to other sports.
Yeah, away from the department NFL. Of who cares.
Right. From Toronto, our professor of sports, he joins us each week on the Sports Report, John Poulter. John, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thanks, guys. How about the two of you?
Yeah, you already heard about Steve.
Yeah, you got the update.
I don't want to hear anymore.
Well, I heard from Steve, and I guess the question I have, was this the first time the training wheels were off the bike, or is this a normal practice?
I'm surprised Dave didn't do that one. Asked me if it fell off the big wheel or the training wheels.
It was the big boy bike. But you're all right now. You're okay. You're safe. Everything's good.
Yeah. Okay. Laughs. It hurts when I laugh. It hurts when I sneeze. Other than that, it's all good.
Okay. Well, I don't think anybody's laughing while you're talking on the show, so you should be okay.
Besides you and everybody else who's listening.
All right, John, let's look at Major League Baseball right now. Steve's in Chicago. I'm from Wisconsin. The National League Central, the Brewers, the Cubs, the Cardinals, all kind of in the mix, and only at this time 5 games separating all those teams. First, how do you see that playing out? And then second, what happened to your Toronto Blue Jays this year? Let's start with the NL Central, though.
Well, I'm glad you guys are still talking to each other, given that your two teams are battling it out for what might be one of the only divisions that is still up for grabs. I believe that 4 out of the 6 divisions are pretty well decided. All that's really left to decide is that National League Central, as you point out, and the American League East, where the Yankees have a 3.5-game deficit to make up on Boston. But it's been an interesting season in that National League Central. Milwaukee, St. Louis, and Chicago have all kind of taken their turns at the top. They've all been streaky, both good and bad. Cubs came out of the All-Star break on fire. I think they won 9 or 10 in a row right out of the break, and then they've been on a little bit of a slump since. Milwaukee jumped out quickly, but they're hanging in there. They're now, I believe, they're 2.5 games behind as we record this, and I still think that's a great story. You know, we've talked about this a couple of times on previous shows about the Brewers with their small market, their small payroll, doing it sort of on the cheap, quote-unquote. To be competing with the Cubs, who are the big spenders, along with the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox of this world, I think it's a great story, and I'd kind of like to see the Brewers hang in there till the end and hopefully grab a postseason berth out of this.
Small team, small market, on the cheap. That's my team.
The last time I was at the National League Championship Series was when St. Louis came to play in Milwaukee.
Right, wasn't that long ago. So they get in there every 5 years or so.
Well, the Cardinals have had a very un-Cardinal-like season. You know, they struggled right out of the gate. Then they went on that nice little stretch where they found themselves tied for first and then in first place by, I think, about as much as a game and a half at one point in time. But they've been slowly sliding back a little bit. You know, as we look at it today, they're 5.5 games back, essentially a 500 team, right at 65-65 as we record this show. That's really one of the only divisions that's still left to be decided, and lots of baseball to be played within that division in the month of September, which is almost upon us. So I think we're in for an exciting last month in terms of the National League Central.
John Polder with us, our professor.
Easy for you to
professor
say.
Professor!
He trips
sports
over the easiest words.
Say it three times.
Professor. All Mr. Right. Peabody.
Our professor of sports from Toronto. We're doing great today, aren't we, John? Isn't this good?
This is one of those stars, you know. This is one of those shows that we keep in the archives.
That's what they call first hole jitters.
All right. What happened to the Blue Jays this year? Their playoff team last couple of years went right in the tank. What happened?
Very, very poorly structured team, quite frankly. Don't really think they know what their identity is. They came into the season thinking that pitching was going to be strong. It's been pretty brutal, quite frankly. They've been suffering from an awful lot of injuries, as has every team in the major leagues. The last time I looked, there was over 100 guys on major league disabled lists, and that's a little bit misleading because this is the first year of the 10-day disabled list as opposed to the 15-day disabled list. So I think there's a lot of teams are using the DL a lot quicker for a lot lesser injuries than they have in the past. But boy, every time I turn around, there's somebody on the Blue Jays getting hurt. There are odd injuries. I have to wonder if this team is just getting a little bit too old, is not in very good shape, and can't keep up with these younger teams. And I'm thinking specifically the Red Sox with some of their young stars and Houston with some of their young stars. And even the Yankees are starting to come around and build through the farm system now, which is something we were traditionally not used to seeing. But the Blue Jays had a bad spring training. They had a bad April. They had a bad May. And it really hasn't gotten any better since then. Currently 9 games below 500. I think the closest they've been to 500 all season, if you discount the first game when they were 0-1, is about 2 games. And we all know that you don't win pennants or make the postseason when you're a couple of games below 500. So I suspect we've got a major roster reshaping coming up here in Toronto over the month of September and through the close season. Clearly not a chance of making the postseason this year, which is a little depressing when they're the only game in town over the summertime.
Our professor of sport. What?
No, go ahead. You got, it's always good. Let's keep the audience apprised of who
put
our guest
your finger
is.
Up put your finger up before I'm about to talk. This is what Steve does, okay? We're on visual screens.
Does anybody
John,
really
we
can, care?
We can see each other, okay? So I start talking, and then Steve puts up his finger. He's had – how long did John talk for? 5 minutes straight, right, before I came in? You couldn't put the finger up. Put the finger up. Put two – it's easy.
How about this finger?
I see it. All right. Our professor –
I'll give you the one-finger salute.
If that's too hard to deal with, I can just say the really smart sports guy from Chicago.
Well, John, before David went on this diatribe, I was going to ask you, apart from the Brewers, who would you say would be the biggest or most pleasant surprise this baseball season?
Interesting question. I think probably the Minnesota Twins.
Wait, my finger's up, John. Don't you see?
I'm going to say the Minnesota Twins because they had a terrible season last year. They came out of the gate very surprisingly this year, leading that division for quite a while until the Cleveland Indians got their act together. And as we sit here, the Twins are still right there in that wild card race. And at the end of July, when you look at some of the deals that they made, you almost got the impression that they had sort of identified themselves as sellers, therefore throwing up the white flag for the season. And here they are now back in the postseason race. But of course, a 3-game series with the Toronto Blue Jays where they took 2 out of 3 is enough to boost anybody back into the postseason race. So That would be my answer in terms of the surprise team. I guess discounting the Brewers because we've already covered them. But in the American League, I'd have to say the Minnesota Twins.
Okay, I'm coming in now. Anything?
You're good.
Am I good?
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks. I'm Packer Dave. That's Steve Leventhal, along with John Poulter. We're all in remote locations. Coming to you on this one broadcast. It's amazing technology. Now, John and Steve are going to talk soccer while I just go away for a while.
Yeah, well, Dave disappears.
I think they run a lot.
Himself of the opportunity and actually learn something. I guess that's just way too much information, right? When it gets outside of NFL, exceeds your capacity to absorb?
There's only a couple goals. They're running, and then pow, one's in. Yeah, maybe another one.
Some of the most exciting games I've ever seen have been scoreless draws or 1-1 games or a game where it was 1-0. Some of the more boring games are the ones where they score 6 or 7 goals, believe it or not. Would you agree with me,
now's
John?
Now's your chance to talk about all of it. With Steve and John.
All I can say is I'm not a huge basketball fan, and every time I turn the TV on and watch an NBA game, somebody's winning 118 to 116, and I'm not so sure that there's a whole lot of fun in that. So that to me is no different than a 1-0 soccer game.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about soccer. It's 3 weeks out of the shoot, and we got a nice international break, so nothing we talk about is really going to change over the next couple weeks. But at the top of the table is you're the Manchester United, you're the beloved United.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm 3,000 miles away, of course, but I still watch those games, and it's just music to my ears to watch the way they've been playing so far this season. Granted, they really haven't had a strong test. They haven't played any of the really good teams, but 2-4-0 wins and a 2-0 win in their third game against Leicester City this past weekend at Old Trafford has put them at the top of the table, the only 3-0 team after 3 games in first place by a couple of points. Obviously, very early. We're only 10% and almost 10% into the season, but I've been very pleased with the way Manchester United has played. Certainly their summer signings have come along nicely and have slotted into that team, and they've been getting some good offense out of Lukaku, who has essentially replaced Wayne Rooney in the lineup, who's gone back to Everton and hasn't done too badly in his return to Merseyside. But clearly, United are an upgraded team over last year. Hopefully, they'll get some of the injured players back soon and have some depth, which they'll clearly need as they go back into the championship, Champions League in Europe. But it's a very nice surprise to sit back and see United playing as well as they have been in the last 3 weeks.
Well, you know, goalkeeper David De Gea could sit there and read a novel while he's working because he hasn't seen any action. They haven't even given up a goal this season so far.
Yeah, hasn't given up a goal, but he made one super save in the last minute. Actually, I think it was in stoppage time against Leicester City that looked like the clean sheet was going to go out the window, but he got his foot out just in time and managed to keep the ball out of the net and keep that clean sheet intact. So yes, he's been playing well, but defensively, I think the whole team has played well, and that back four is starting to look like it might be a little bit more solid than we've seen in the last couple of years. And the addition of Matic in midfield, I think, has really been an upgrade, along with Mata playing as well as he has the last couple of years. Matic seems to me to be just adding that little bit more support in midfield, which is allowing Pogba to play forward just that little bit more rather than laying back in midfield. And that's only good news. And I think the other issue with Pogba is that with the Neymar signing to PSG in France, absolutely dwarfing the £89 million fee that was paid for Pogba last year, I think it's taken a lot of pressure on him to perform as the top player in the game financially. And I think it's been an improvement in terms of what we've seen on the field. So good news all around on the red side of Manchester.
Now, Huddersfield Town, and granted it's pretty early in the season, two wins and a draw for a team that just came up from the championship division. Is that pretty unusual?
It's very surprising, and it's surprising mainly because Huddersfield are sort of playing primarily with the guts of the team and the core of the team that won the playoff round in the championship last year. It's very early. They played Crystal Palace in their first game, which is really not a good barometer because Crystal Palace is struggling right out of the gate. I don't think Huddersfield have played a really tough team yet. So there's tough days ahead for them. But, hey, it's always a great start to get those first 7 points under your belt after three games and not be struggling to try and get to 7 points after 10 or 11 games, as we often see those promoted teams do. So it's been a long time since Huddersfield have been in the top flight, about 25 years, I believe. I think it was back, it might be 35 years. It might be in the 1970s that we first saw that.
Where is Huddersfield?
Huddersfield is in Yorkshire. It's just about 20 miles from Leeds.
I see. So when really quickly,
In fact, if you go back in history, the former stadium of Huddersfield Town was on a street called Leeds Road, and that was actually the name of the stadium, was Leeds Road, and that's the road that leads from Leeds to Huddersfield. So in terms of Yorkshire, it would be a lot smaller town than Leeds, Leeds being the biggest town in Yorkshire, but Huddersfield is a traditionally strong sporting town, more so for rugby than it has been for soccer over the years. But back in the 20s, Huddersfield Town were a powerhouse in the English League. So it's nice to see them back.
Okay, last question pertaining to soccer. And that would be, you know, Arsenal, which has not looked good. And this may be finally the end of the Arsene Wenger era.
Well, he just signed that new contract, so it's a little bit misleading as to whether they would tie the can to him after signing that new contract. But I watched the Arsenal-Liverpool game on Sunday, and I think Liverpool just literally tore them apart, especially on that goal that was essentially a breakaway after a Liverpool corner, and the ball came out to the Arsenal player, and he basically was on his own from the center line in, and he slipped the ball so very coolly past the Liverpool goalie. I got to be a little bit concerned if I'm an Arsenal fan, which I'm not. Obviously, being a Manchester United fan, I don't cry anytime I see Arsenal lose, but I got to think that anybody that's a true Arsenal fan has got to be sitting there just wondering what is up with that team. They certainly haven't made the progress that they should have made over the summer. There's no question that there's money available there. It's a big team. It's a big team in a big town in a big stadium. There's no reason for them not to have the money to go out and shore up that team. But defensively, they've looked awful in two of the three games that I've seen. I thought they were very fortunate to win that opening game against Leicester City. They trailed for probably about 85 minutes of that game. Didn't look too sharp and ended up pulling it out in injury time. Other than that, they've been pretty woeful. So I don't know whether it's the end of the day for Wenger, but certainly he didn't look like he was enjoying life too much when I saw him on the bench on Sunday.
All right, well, soccer's off for a couple of weeks while we have qualifying for World Cup. Dave, I'll turn it back over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, John, and thank you very much, Steve. John, we'll talk to you again next week on the Weekend Sports Report. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure as always, guys. Take care. We'll chat next week.
All right, and we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Weekend Sports Report. Remember, check us out at internetfm.com and kwwradio.com. New shows posted every week, usually on Friday afternoon at around 3-4 p.m. Central Time once we get into the regular season. Thanks for joining us on this preview show. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Get some beers, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Stop it!
night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.